And now the symptoms include the inability to turn off cable TV or radio shows featuring Ken Rudin. You not only read the blogs, you read the comments and the comments on the comments. Los Angeles Times columnist Megan Daum says, we passed election fatigue at about the time Stevie Wonder performed Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Yours at Invesco Field, and that as a nation we're now mainlining politics. If that describes you, don't call your doctor, call us. What are your symptoms? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Megan Daum joins us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles, and nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. Great to be back.
And we don't call ourselves political junkies here for nothing, Megan.
No, and I feel that what's happened with this campaign is it's taken a lot of people who weren't even necessarily interested in politics and made them overnight junkies.
And what's your distinction between election fatigue and obsession?
Well, election fatigue is pretty common in any campaign. Obsession, which I think kind of started to happen around the week that Sarah Palin was introduced into the mix, maybe for about 7 to 10 days after that. Obsession was a sort of, it implies an acute and very intense interest in the details of a campaign. Addiction is what happens when the obsession is still going on, but we're not really enjoying it anymore. I'm talking about not just reading blogs like the Daily Coast or the Huffington Post or whatever it is, but not being able to stop yourself from refreshing the page, even though you know it's going to refresh anyway. You don't want to be delayed even a few seconds from whatever breaking information might be coming.
The high is gone, you write in your column, but the craving still gets worse.
Yeah, it's like there are various ways this manifests, and I was noticing it myself, and I don't think I'm the only one. You have these Netflix movies sitting around that you know you should watch, but the weeks go by and you can't peel yourself away from CNN or MSNBC. You're starting to have negative consequences. The conversations feel very urgent, but nobody really wants to be having the conversations. There's a shame spiral, if you will.
A shame spiral?
Yeah, you need to be thinking about the election and reading these blogs and like I said in the column, reading not just the comments, but the comments about the comments. But, you start to feel kind of icky after a while, after not very long at all, as a matter of fact.
Well, we want callers to get in with us and tell us their symptoms of their political addiction. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Todd, and Todd's with us from Jackson in Wyoming.
Hi. My addiction started back with donating money to Al Gore, and constantly I told work that I had other things going on Wednesday, so I had off in order to listen to Ken Rudin in order to find out if Al Gore was going to put his hat in. And it continued to get worse from there. I tape it. I get up in the morning and I put on headphones to listen to NPR. I'm not allowed. My wife has limited the amount of radio that I can get in. Last night I went out with friends to a bar and I watched CNN. Didn't talk to any of them. It's just, and I'm 29, so I'm probably considered still part of that youth vote, but definitely.
Some might call you disturbed. We would call you a core listener.
Yes, definitely. And even on Saturdays, I tape the Wait, Don't Tell Me to find out any other little details I've missed. And definitely have become very addicted. The problem I have is I live in Wyoming, which being a Democrat in Wyoming is pretty pointless. So, I'm still, I go onto the map and check the polls and
Megan, aren't those election maps that they have on the websites like even CNN and a lot of places have them, those things are incredibly addictive.
Yeah, and there's something about the magic map on CNN, the one that John King is always pointing to, and the red and the blue states and the purple states come up. And there is a sort of, perhaps cognitive phenomenon that happens when you close your eyes at night. You sort of see those states kind of floating through your consciousness as you drift into dreamland. And
I like how he can zoom in. First you see the state, and then you see it county by county, and then you see it district by district, and finally he's down to somebody's bedroom.
Yes, it's sort of like Google Earth, only red and blue.
Even
map.
More intrusive, and you begin to know what's on their iPod.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and one of the interesting things about this addiction is that it's bipartisan. Ever since this column came out, I've received hundreds of emails, and they've been from conservatives as well as liberals, and not just Americans as well. I've heard from people in other countries who are consumed by what's going on here, the UK, Australia, Norway. I heard from someone in India. It's like a plague that we're spreading throughout the globe.
Well, this campaign, we saw in the primaries and throughout the caucuses all the way back to Iowa, there has been record turnouts in all of these campaigns, more through the primary season, at least on the Democratic side than on the Republican. But the Democrats had a more competitive race than the Republicans did. But isn't that a good thing that people are so engaged?
I think it's definitely a good thing. What I noticed, obviously there was a lot of discussion about the primaries and then a lot of discussion and interest in the conventions. I don't think that it's saying anything revelatory to suggest that when Sarah Palin was introduced into the mix, the level of obsession really went through the roof. And then it became, I think for Democrats, maybe a little more than Republicans. But again, it's a bipartisan pathology here. The introduction of Sarah Palin made this feel urgent in a way. And I'm not the first one to say there's a sort of dramatic, voyeuristic quality to elements of her story. I think that a lot of people who might have otherwise been watching soap operas are now glued to CNN, since it's not always easy to tell the two apart.
Let's see if we can go now to Richard. And Richard with us from, where is it, Richard?
Well, it's just outside of the Little Rock, Arkansas metro area. It's a little bedroom commuter community called Maumelle, like Ma and Bell, Maumelle, only it's with an M, Maumelle.
Maumelle, okay. I've not had the pleasure to be there, but what's the sign of your political addiction?
Well, I never used to watch the evening news commentary programs. Now I find myself coming home looking forward to watching MSNBC to get the left, and Fox to get the right, and BBC to get the middle. And the thing that really concerns me the most, I think, is that as a part of this addiction, much like a narcotic, the negative tone, I think most of us are just sick and tired of it, and yet I sense that I find myself watching to see, okay, who said what, and then what was their response. And I think that perhaps that says more about us as a body politic than it does about the candidates. If the negativity didn't work, you know, like heroin or alcohol or any other addictive drug, then they wouldn't use it.
You write to Megan Daum that we are easily enraged.
Yeah, we're easily enraged. We're easily made to feel paranoid about things that maybe we shouldn't be as paranoid about as we are. You know, I think the caller gets at the issue of negativity in an interesting way. It manifests obviously through campaign ads, but the way that the internet is playing such a prominent role in this campaign has a lot to do with the negativity that we see in reader comments. I think part of the reason that people are reading not only the blogs and the internet news stories and then the comments, and then, as I said, the comments about the comments, is because you become enraged about what somebody wrote, and so then you wait to find a comment from somebody who's equally enraged, and it's like it's a snake that's eating its tail. You want to find people who are on your side, but along the way to that point, you have to listen to a lot of people who are not on your side, and then you just become sort of apoplectic.
Richard, the other thing I find myself doing is seeing everything through the lens, the prism, if you will, of the political presidential campaign season. A barn burner the other night between the Eagles and the Cowboys. How's that going to change the voting output in central Pennsylvania since the Eagles lost?
Well, I don't know. Since I'm a Cowboys fan, I can't give you an effective answer. But it certainly had something to do with the bounce that the Republican convention got, because there was a pro game that came on right after they finished, wasn't there?
I guess there was. So there was a pro game on just before they started. So nobody wants to get into the way of politics this year. And it used to be that pro football was everything, and now the biggest ratings phenomenons of the entire summer, more than the Olympic Games, have been the speeches at the national political conventions. It's astonishing.
Well, I would agree with that. The word fan comes from the root word fanatic, and I am more of a Razorback and Cowboy fan than I'm a political fan. I wouldn't go so far as to say I get enraged, but I certainly have become animated on both sides of the aisle. And many have said, I think we're better than that. I would like to think we are. I'd just be nice to wake up one day and see the candidates taking the high ground and talking about the issues instead of attacking each other's personalities.
Well, thanks very much for the call, and good luck with your program. All right, bye-bye. Here's an email from Michelle in Durham, North Carolina. I know it's getting bad when I type www.nytimes.com in the address bar of my web browser, only to realize that I was already looking at it. This from Ryan. I hate politics, and it's the honest kind of hate where I have to keep informed about every bit of it so I can continue to hate it actively. I had the same symptoms with the New England Patriots earlier this year when they lost the Super Bowl. I was so ecstatic, words could not describe it. Well, me too, but then again, I'm a Giants fan. We're talking with Megan Dahm of the Los Angeles Times about the addiction, the national addiction to political news. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to another caller. This is Jay. Jay with us from Sacramento.
How's it going?
Go ahead, please.
Oh, so yeah, you know, I've really, over this last election cycle, been addicted to the internet. You know, here at work, it's hard to listen to the radio all day or you know, watch the news. So I get most of my information from the internet. Thank God for Politico, because, I mean, I just get, it's an all-in-one source. It's great. And, you know, Christian Science Monitor is always great, very accurate. So I just find myself spending far too much time on these sites, though.
Politico. Have you succumbed to Politico, Megan Dahm?
Oh, absolutely. If I type P into my browser, Politico comes right up. There's nothing I have not succumbed to. Another blog that I think a lot of people are sort of glued to is Mudflats, which is the political blog that comes out of Alaska. I think whoever does this might have a book contract on his hands within weeks here.
Jay, thanks very much for the call. And let's now go to Andrew. And Andrew's with us from New Hope in Pennsylvania.
Well, hello. I think I'm addicted as bad as anyone. I'm addicted to morning talk shows because I keep seeing that every time the polls show that there's a front runner, the network television shows seem to give the person behind, the underdog, a little more play. And I find myself screaming at the television, and my family's disgusted with me. I'm kind of disgusted with myself, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the economy. I remember 1980 and 1970 and 1990. That was a bad economy. And I also believe that if McCain's problem-solving skills picked Sarah Palin, I got to vote for that guy.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. It's interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's my pleasure. And thank God for radio, because when I scream at the television, nobody listens.
We're always listening. Thanks very much for the call. You know, it's interesting because the obsession gave way for a little while, Megan Dahm, to Ike obsession. How much of the Gulf of Mexico is it filling now?
I know, you know, that's the sort of thing, as a columnist at a mainstream newspaper, it probably wouldn't have been a good idea for me to bring up the annoyance that many people felt with the hurricane coverage. It's like, you know, enough of that already. I want to go back to Sarah Palin. I want more of that. I want to, you know, talk about these rumors, which of them, if any, are true. And that is certainly part of the shame spiral to not have interest in a major, you know, natural disaster that's affecting thousands of people, because we want gossip.
Here's an email from David in Ann Arbor, Michigan. My addiction now is emailing to every NPR call-in show and hoping to get on. I've been on the Diane Rehm Show, two local programs, but I've never been on Talk of the Nation. Well, congratulations, David. Here's this from Rick in Colorado. When I hear the words breaking news, I start to salivate, sweat, and shake as if I am suffering from withdrawals, except the breaking news can sometimes be, they're expecting a debate to begin in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we were watching the conventions. They have the countdown to the big speeches.
Clock in the bottom corner, yeah.
Yes, it's very much like a football game.
Let's see if we can get Emily on the line. And Emily's calling us from Des Moines in Iowa.
I am. I just wanted to say that I don't see how this is a problem. If you're going to have the American people and people around the world obsessed with anything, what better than this important decision? I mean, we're picking the leader of the free world, and I'd rather have people obsessing over that than football or American Idol or all the things we normally are obsessing over.
Is this Ken Rudin with a changed voice?
No, this is just a longtime political junkie who's glad to have a few more people in my camp.
Well, she does have civic lesson aspect to this.
But the campaign is not entirely dissimilar from American Idol at this point. So it's everything has come together.
You say, in a sense, after a certain level of obsession, it becomes empty calories.
Yeah, it does. I think that that's why it feels like an addiction. It starts to have negative consequences. And, you know, I think that there's something very positive about people coming together and talking about one thing. I think when we were starting to get into obsession mode, there was something exhilarating about that. But here we are a few weeks past that, and we can only get so many forwarded emails revealing, you know, rumors or ideas that may or may not have any validity to them, and it does feel like burnout in a way.
Well, here's the ultimate email from Denise in Janesville, Wisconsin. I seriously squirm in my actual AA meetings and can't wait to get to my car radio on a day when the political fur is flying seriously, and I haven't told my sponsor yet. So, Megan Dom, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Megan Dom, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, with us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. Tomorrow, Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson will join us as we talk with the parents of teenage parents about how their lives have changed. If this is your story, tell us about it. You can email us now. The address is talk@npr.org. Join us tomorrow at this time. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.